Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators, keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is WTIC Pet Talk. Today, Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital takes your pet health questions. Whether you have a dog, cat, or hamster, this is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. And now, Pet Talk.
Good afternoon and welcome to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I am Dr. Andrea Dennis, and thrilled to be here with you on a Saturday afternoon. We'll be here for a good chunk of an hour. We do have news. We do have some commercial breaks, but the hour predominantly is speaking with you, talking about your questions about your pets, some of your it doesn't always have to be an actual question, as it can be having to do with something that you heard, something you're thinking about doing. Are you doing the right thing for your pets just as in terms of preventative care? Prevention is huge in terms of keeping our pets healthy, but we're here and we're here to engage with you. I know sometimes when I see people that listen to the show say, I'm so nervous to call in, and there's nothing to be nervous about. You know, as long as you don't swear on the air, we're good. And there's no question that is not intelligent. There's nothing that is that you should be expected to know. There's no judgment. Let me put it that way. But we're here to educate. So please share some time with me. You can call me at 860-522-9842. That's 860-522-WTIC. So give us a call. Call in now. And you'll speak with Kevin first, who will put you in the queue. And we always promise those of you that call early, we will answer your phone calls. So I was here last week, and some of you might think, okay, I'm trying to keep track who's on when. I do alternate with Lori Fass, who is your pet trainer. She's the expert in training dogs and cats. She'll be on next week, but because of some scheduling issues, I am here. I was here last week, and I'm again here right here in the studio. But if there's something that you kind of like really needed to talk about that has to do with some behavior issue, I'm happy to try to address it. I think a lot of times behavior and medicine, sometimes we see some abnormal behaviors that are really associated with a medical problem. And that's why we study behavior in veterinary school. We go to continuing education on that. And one of the things that can often affect behavior of pets is their teeth and how they're feeling about their teeth. I can't believe we're already in March, but in February, when I was on the air a couple of times, you know, I talked to you about it was quite a busy month for pet awareness, things that, you know, we talked about the heart and heart disease. But one of the other awareness issues is Dental Health Month. And that was in February. But we worry about our dogs and cats' teeth all the time. I examine the teeth every time one of my patients comes in to see me. Even if it's because they're limping, I always look in their mouth. I think there's so many things you can tell by that. And so with that, you need to be aware of things that you can do at home to keep your pet's teeth as healthy as possible. And most pet dental disease actually will occur below the gum line, where you actually can't see it, just like us. That's why it's recommended that we go, most of us, go to the dentist to have our teeth cleaned twice a year. Some people, it's three times a year, especially if you do have periodontal disease or gingivitis. But in the veterinary world, your pet's teeth should be checked at least once a year by your veterinarian. So if you aren't even, I mean, you should be having a health exam as well. If for some reason you feel like you have not had any attention given to your pet's teeth, please go. That's really expected to go at least once a year. And last year we were we had a phone call that we were talking about the equivalency of a pet's age compared to human years. And so if you average out, we talked about the 7 years isn't an exact measure, but if you figured that you're unable to go to the dentist every 7 years, you can imagine the things that change in our mouth, even with us brushing every day, twice a day. So that's how we kind of look at it in the veterinary world, that you know it's been a while. It's several years with equivalency with a human. But so please make sure that you have your pet's teeth examined as well. Some of our pets need to have their teeth actually clean. They need to have them scaled to remove that plaque and tartar. We polish the teeth, and it's very, very similar to our own teeth cleanings. What makes it different and also more expensive is the fact that many times almost always we need to use anesthesia to perform these dental procedures. It's less stressful. It's less painful. Not that unless the teeth are really in bad shape, most of the time you're cleaning the teeth without any discomfort, but you also don't want to risk injuring the pets, correct? Because with that, you can imagine when you're sitting in the chair having your teeth cleaned, you have to be very careful about staying still. You need to, I try to just close my eyes and relax, and I just kind of listen to the sound of what's going on. But you can imagine for a dog or cat, it's a lot more scary. So that is the main reason why anesthesia is recommended when we're cleaning your dog's and cat's teeth. What you can do at home is regular brushing. And your pets, that's the most single effective thing we can do to keep their teeth healthy, not only in between dental cleanings, but just in general. And it may reduce how frequently your pet's teeth need to be cleaned, right? So with that, I feel like if you can start as early as possible, that would be ideal. Let's start when they're young, when they're kittens, when they're puppies. But so many of you are adopting older pets. And with that being said, having older pets, you want to go ahead and make sure that you get them used to it on a slow basis. And I like making sure whatever toothbrush I'm going to use, whether it's an actual brush like we use or a finger toothbrush that just kind of fits on your finger, I want them to get a little bit used to making sure that they like the taste of the toothpaste. That's ideal. And you get them to build on that. That would really be the best thing you can do. You kind of get them used to tasting the toothpaste, and then you start working on the teeth, maybe, for 10 seconds, and then you stop. There are some really good YouTube videos that kind of demonstrate how to brush your dog's teeth and cat's teeth at home. I know some of you that, again, if you've adopted an older pet, I just say, I can't do it. And I believe you. And veterinarians believe you. We know that some pets just will not tolerate it. But at least give it a try. It's the single most effective thing that we can actually do for our pets. And talk to your veterinarian about some of those dental products out there, dental treats. You know, there are some dental-specific diets that are extremely helpful with that. So, you know, have that conversation. Now, how do you know if you need to go visit just because there's a problem with the teeth? And bad breath is one of the main things that we notice, and it's people tend to joke at it like, oh, my goodness, when they breathe on me, I can't stand it. And then they laugh. And I understand that a little bit of that is a little bit of embarrassment, but also it's not really understanding what's happening. Now, when your dog's and cat's mouth has a bad odor, if there's not an abscess in the tooth, if there's not a tumor in the mouth, or a cut in the underneath the tongue, it's usually because you've got so much bacteria, periodontal disease around the teeth. And with that, that bacteria can lead, it gets absorbed into your bloodstream. That bacteria can lodge in the kidneys, the liver, the heart are the primary three organs, and it can cause kidney failure, particularly in cats. So there is a direct link between the health of your pet's mouth and their overall general health. So when you do see that or smell that bad breath, and I know some people have better sense of smell than others, you need to see your veterinarian. Broken teeth, if you see that they're chipped, also need to be seen. Extra teeth, or what we call retained baby teeth, that is a reason, and you'll see like almost two rows of teeth. That's something that needs to be discovered and treated. Usually we have to extract those baby teeth because most of those baby teeth should be gone by 6 months of age. By 6 months, there should only be adult teeth in the mouth. If you see these tiny little baby teeth, or what we call deciduous teeth, then please see your veterinarian. Abnormal chewing, drooling, or dropping food is when you find that all of a sudden where your pet eats, it's a little bit messy, like part of the food is eaten and parts are just bits around the bowl. If your pet is refusing to eat or their reduced appetite, pain in the mouth, most dogs and cats will paw at their mouth if they feel that it's uncomfortable. If you see a little drop of blood or a little bit more profuse bleeding and swelling in the areas around the mouth, these are, and most commonly, there is a, it's called the fourth premolar tooth. It's got three major roots. And dogs in particular, when there's an infection around that tooth, you'll see a swelling underneath the eye. So when you see these abnormal findings, please call your veterinarian, okay? So I know that I went over a little bit, so I'm going to take a quick break, but then Sharon and Barbara, and I see we've got another call coming in. I'm going to speak with you as soon as we come back. Come on back with more Pet Talk.
Looks like a girl.
Well, welcome back. I just like that song. Usually I try to tie in the music with the help, obviously, with Justin Levine, who does my music, bumper music. But I just like that song, and I didn't really know where the conversation was going to go today. So welcome back. Welcome back to Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And on Saturdays, we spend our time here answering questions. We have a pretty full board, but you can continue to call in if you do not mind holding on. And Barbara, you were one of our first, so welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Andrea.
Sure.
I have a 15-year-old terrier. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, she looked like a Yorkie.
Okay.
But she is maybe a Jack Russell.
Okay.
And she went blind. My husband passed away about a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
and she was blind then.
Okay.
And since then, she's been fine in the house because I've heard you say they can make their way around.
They do.
And she does.
Mm-hmm.
However, she's changed drastically.
Okay.
She walks around the recliner that the two of them sat in,
mm-hmm.
like like she's got dementia.
Okay.
She might keep going 20, 25 times around that chair.
Now, has this been going on since the year and a half? And I'm sorry about the passing of your husband. Is this more like the last 6 months? Is this more of a...
I'd say within the last 6 months.
Okay, yeah. And I think that, just so you know, that pets, in particular dogs, do get dementia. Cognitive, we call it a cognitive dysfunction, and it can show itself that way, where they sort of go around in a circle. How is her hearing? Is that going as well?
No, the hearing is fine.
Okay.
But herself, she'll cry until I sit next to her. She's got to have me next to her constantly.
Yeah, and I think we have some really wonderful medication that we do use for cognitive dysfunction. Now, it could be other things, too. I have something... there's a condition called vestibular syndrome, and I saw a dog that came in yesterday. But usually where they'll kind of go around in circles, they're a little bit dizzy. But this doesn't seem to be the case. And usually vestibular syndrome will improve over the following weeks when it starts. So I agree with you that I think we may be dealing with a cognitive dysfunction. I would speak with your veterinarian about that. They may even ask that you bring her in because it can be extremely helpful. I have seen the quality of life of older dogs, because we usually see this dementia or cognitive dysfunction later in life, and it's improved their life so much. It's improved their owner's life tremendously. So at least have that conversation. It's very safe. And sometimes you'll notice, for some dogs and even cats, what you'll notice is that they kind of stay up a little bit more at night and sleep a little bit more during the day. That sometimes
she never wants to sleep.
Yes. Okay. So do this for me, Barbara. Really call. It is a prescription. I do think there might be some help. But let's have a good, thorough physical exam on our little girl. Just because she's 15, it does not mean there's nothing that we can do. I know that's older in life, but I'm optimistic we might be able to help both of you.
Now, when I take her out, she comes back in and messes in the house.
Yeah, there's confusion. There's definitely confusion there, no doubt. I always am very careful not to diagnose over the phone because I cannot see her. But I bet your veterinarian, and you're being extremely helpful with your description, but the more you talk about what you're seeing, the more it's kind of fitting. And if there is a medical issue, sometimes if we address the medical issue, it will change that behavior thing. But this does, to me, tell me, let's investigate the cognitive dysfunction. And now that we have medication, I've been using it for 2 decades. I'm what they call a seasoned veterinarian. I've been around for a while, and I can hear the concern in your voice. And I'm saying, let's give it a shot. So call on Monday, okay? Do me that favor, because I think that they can help you.
Well, I'll tell you, I've had 9 dogs since I was, we'll say, in 8th grade. And they all lived to be 18, 19 years old. And I've had about 20 cats, even Maine Coon cats, that lived to be 20-something.
Wow.
And this is the first time that I've ever seen this.
Well, and again, that's why I think she needs to be examined. I mean, I have also seen dogs with brain tumors do this too, but it doesn't seem to fit, because she doesn't seem like she has any other issues. But just give that call on Monday, and I know they'll get you in, and I do believe there'll be some help for you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Barbara. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that cognitive dysfunction, you know, again, decades ago, there was nothing we can do about it, but I have seen such a great turnaround, and people will, like, from getting confused, going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, going outside, then coming inside. It just kind of fits that pattern. It's called Selegiline is the generic drug, or also something called Anapril, and people have thanked me over and over again that it's made such a difference. So it's worth a conversation. I think we're going to switch gears with Sharon a little bit. Hi, Sharon.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. I have 2 questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The first one with the teeth. Now, when I brought my dogs to the vet, I have 3 of them, and they've had their teeth cleaned. And I said, their breath is still bad. Well, they said, it's their inner gut. Whatever you're feeding them, that's the reason why their breath smells. I'm lost at what I should feed my dogs.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of tilting my head. Like, you know how dogs kind of tilt to the side? I'm not sure about that comment, if I'm a believer. I'll tell you what I look at first. If the teeth have been cleaned and there's still an odor, I tend to look at the lip folds, the lower part of the lip. I have had that be issue where there's can be a local infection in there. I would kind of put my nose there and see if that's the problem. If they've had a dental, then they've had a complete dental exam. They move the tongue around. There's no abscesses there.
But we've been going to this place for 12 years, so.
Right. So I think that, but that's one thing I would just check for yourself. I mean, just where, you know, you must be able to pinpoint where you think it's coming from. Now, in terms of the gut, we now have pro and prebiotics, or probiotics. You've heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they If that was what we were told, that there's something going on with the gut that is causing this odor, then I'm a firm believer in the probiotics, or what we call now prebiotics, so that it helps with the digestion. It's very, there's some companies that are more reputable than others in this field. So again, I would talk to your veterinarian. Well, what did they recommend when they said this was the reason why you have a smell?
They just said, what kind of food are you feeding them? And I said, blue buffalo. We've had them on blue buffalo. Or, yeah. And the other one, each lamb, raw lamb.
Okay.
And they said, well, I don't know, maybe it's just the food that's just not agreeing with them now. And I said, but they've been on it for so long.
Well, it can change, though. But things can change. My recommendation would be the probiotics. Definitely. Pro and pre. They have some that are probiotics, and you can call your veterinary office and say, listen, I thought about what you said during my last visit, and I've done some research, and I'd like to start on a pro and prebiotic. That's what my recommendation would be, okay? And you said you have another question, right?
Another question, yes.
Well, I'm going to have to ask you to hold because Kevin, my producer, is telling me we have to go to news. So I'm going to...
No problem.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to...
This
is a new thing, so I'm going to just make sure... Yeah, I think I did that okay. I think I'm doing good. Okay, so we've got more calls coming in, and I can see someone else is ringing, so please be patient. We're going to have more Pet Talk when we come back. You're listening on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You are listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And I know the weather is a bit gloomy outside. At least it's on the warm side, so things aren't freezing. It wasn't too bad driving over here. But we are here for you to take your calls, to have conversations with you, give opinions. As I have emphasized over and over again, I do not just give advice, kind of guide you to what questions you should ask your veterinarian. I do not diagnose over the phone. But again, I think, thinking outside the box sometimes can be very, very helpful. So that's what we're here for. And with that being said, Sharon was very patient. She stayed on hold, and then we're going to go and speak with Joe and Bob. But Sharon, what's that other question that you had? And hopefully it was, we're done with the first question, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's next?
Okay. Second question is flea and tick. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every time I put any kind of flea and tick on my dogs, they seem like they have an issue. They're kind of like lethargic. Doesn't matter what it is. So I read on it, and I heard that Texas cedarwood and grapeseed oil, you mix it together and then you rub it all over your dogs.
Okay.
What do you think?
You know, I really don't know. I am, you know, are these oils and...
Oils.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if your pet licks some of these oils, and I'm not saying these in particular, it can be toxic to them if they ingest them. I think what I would do is, I think the pet poison control would be a much better... a source of information. I am hesitant. I know I've heard people using citronella oil, and I'm like, you never ever put that on your pet's coat.
No.
There's so many things that are dangerous. And, you know, that's why I think we need the guidance of the expert. And I understand what you're saying, that you've tried different types and all of them seem to be affected by it in some way. What do you do for heartworm? Or do you not do heartworm treat?
I do heartworm. Yeah, and I crunch it up. I've spoiled my dogs so much that they just are so picky. And
I love it.
Well, it's terrible.
Well, the reason I ask is because heartworm, like your heart guard, the first type of monthly heartworm preventative was ivermectin. And we've heard that word, we've heard that drug before. It's extremely safe. And there is a flea and tick topical that's made out of the same thing. It's in the ivermectin mm-hmm. family. So that may be something okay. you ask your veterinarian about. Revolution is the name of it. But it's since they do well with it orally, I can't imagine mm-hmm. they wouldn't do well with it topically.
Topically, you know
what I mean? Yeah. So have okay. that conversation. Mm-hmm. But I'm a wimp. I do not, because these things have not been proven, they've not been tested. I know so many people want to try to go natural, but I have seen dangerous issues happen. I've even seen severe liver disease happen because our pets lick themselves and they get very sick from some okay. of these things. Okay, so that would be my suggestion.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you, hon.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Yeah, I think, okay, I promised that we would make sure we talk to everybody. And hey, Joe, how's it going?
Well, doctor.
You feeling well today?
Yeah. Okay. What's your call? I called last week. I just wanted about my dog, Paul. And thank God, Mother Mary, and St. Francis, and St. Jude, and you, because I remember the past show you mentioned about the bag bomb.
Yes.
And it seems to, it's a lot better. I still can't let him run, but he's doing his walk and everything. It seems to be working well.
Oh, good.
So, I got, you were talking about, dental health.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling on something like, say, it's the same concept, say a bully stick.
Yeah.
I give it to him, but one thing like that, I could like to warn your readers or listeners, with that, you have to, so I take it away. I got to supervise it. I take away when he gets to the end because they right. swallow it and everything.
Right.
But what do you think that it helps any as far as keeping their teeth clean?
It does. I mean, some of these chew toys and the bully sticks, they do help. The caveat to that, Joe, is that they tend to chew with their premolars and molars, which are the
teeth. Okay. Right. Right.
So
okay.
If you lift up, you've had many dogs over the years. So when you lift up those teeth and you see those incisors and the canine teeth that just build up that tartar, there's not a lot other than you brushing at home that's going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But the combination of brushing and some of these really good products that help when they chew on them, it all helps. It really helps. Now, I don't brush my dog's teeth every day. You know, I know that's one of the things I should be doing better and doing more of, as most of us. But just even dry food helps too. But that's the only reason why it doesn't do all the teeth.
You know what helps when you brush your dog's teeth? They don't like it.
What's that?
Get a little chicken broth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And put the brush or the washcloth, whatever you use.
Yeah.
And it, you know, they like the taste. You know, it keeps them still and everything.
It does. And, you know, and again, it's the mechanical action. And I've recommended mm-hmm. chicken broth as well. It's on the mechanical action of just brushing itself is very helpful. But then, like you said, the other part of this is making sure they tolerate it. And they accept it, and you're right, they usually really love that chicken broth. So that really does go over well. And again, I think that as long as you kind of look at your dog's teeth, now I...
No, doctor, that's one thing, as me as a pet owner, mm-hmm. that I need improvement, mm-hmm. the same thing, I should do it more often.
Yeah, I think all of us, and a lot of people, I can't, you know, a lot of individuals will ask me, and they've had a dog for 4 or 5 years, and I blame us. As veterinarians, because almost all puppies get a rabies shot at the very least. And, you know, along with that, they should have their baseline vaccines, too. We need to take the time. I know we're busy, but we veterinarians need to take the time or our technicians, our nurses, to kind of explain why it's important. And even
no, I know it is. I mean, I walked over 3,700 miles last year. I do about 10 miles a day with them. But I should make an extra 5 minutes. Even right. if it's 3-4 times a week, and so that's one area I have to improve on.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and I think I know how much you love your dog, so it really is to hear that I could do it better and you could do it better. The listening audience says, yeah.
I think starting today, I'm going to start.
Okay, today. I'm going to start tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, that's a deal, Joe.
And thank you, doctor.
All right.
Be safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Yeah, I am. I'm starting tomorrow. I got lots going on today, so that's not going to happen. But yes, that's why we have, you know, the dental health awareness, because, hey, it can be done. The other thing besides toothpaste, too, is besides toothpaste, it's I love something called chlorhexidine. You get it from your veterinarian. It's a solution. It's a there's a certain percentage, and that really kills the bacteria really quite nicely. So for some dogs and cats in particular that really have bad gingivitis, and gingivitis is inflammation of the gums. It's the swollen gums that you see. And when you look up and you lift up your pet's lip, you want to see that the gum line as it reaches the tooth is all the same color. If you see a dark red line right where the gum meets the tooth, then you know you were dealing with gingivitis, okay? So there's all sorts of options, but as Joe said very well, we all can do better. Let's see if we can do that for our pets. Hey, Bob, I'm going to chat with you a little bit, but if we have to take a break, I'll put you on hold if we don't complete our call.
Okay.
Okay, Bob? Hi.
Yep. Yep.
Nice to hear you. You're on the air now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to take a
Not yet.
Okay. I talked to you a couple weeks ago about my two new kittens, me and my daughter.
Yes.
We did the toenails. That was pretty darn easy. The brushing of the teeth, that didn't go all too good. So.
Okay.
I'm going to leave that up to my daughter. But now we're into the old getting into the heat trick. They're two boys. They're about 7 months old. Do we have to get them fixed or not get them fixed? Or are they going to start spraying? I have no idea about
that. Oh, that's an excellent question, Bob, on the kitten. So they're 7 months old now?
Yeah, they're twins. Well, they're brothers.
Right, they're brothers.
They totally look different, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're different sizes? One's bigger than the other?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were doing the old hump-to-hump trick, and then now the other guys don't give them helping the other guy out now. So,
yeah, no.
I mean, they're doing cash.
I would definitely, to answer your question, my answer is absolutely yes. They need to be neutered. And they are old enough to be neutered. And you are going to notice, if you haven't already, the smell, the odor of their urine is going to become more and more potent. It's going to be okay.
They're whining and everything.
They will start, yes, and they will start marking their territory because they are
too. Okay, that's what I was worried about too. So we should make an appointment like ASAP.
ASAP. They are old enough. And so that's an excellent question. I can go into somebody's house and I can tell whether they have a neutered cat or not because the odor is just so bad, even if they keep a clean litter box. But the thing that will be very hard to undo is if one of them goes in the corner against the baseboard, then the other one's going to, they're going to start marking. And the other thing, Bob, before I let you go and we take our break, is, you know, the recommendation is that you have a litter box for each cat, plus one. So when you have two cats, you're supposed to have three litter box when they become adults, especially.
Well, I have an old house. It's got upstairs, downstairs, and now we're letting them into the basement. And there's a lot of places they can hang around. They love it down there.
Okay.
But I'm trying to work on the workbench, and that never works out. But that's another story.
They need their own litter box. And even if they share it, they may, you know, urinate in one together. I mean, you just always want them to have a clean place to go when you have more than one. So the recommendation, so if you had five cats, you need six litter boxes. So for you, I'm going to have you think ahead and let's think about where we could put three different litter boxes. It can be all in the basement.
I got one upstairs, one in the regular floor. I'll put the third one in the basement.
Okay, I like it. Hey, good luck with everything.
I'll text my daughter right now.
All right, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye now. All right, we're going to take our quicker break, and then we'll be back. We still have a couple more people to talk with. Listen, come on back to more Pet Talk. I think we're back for the next 9 minutes now. Okay, you are listening to the Veterinary Edition of Pet Talk. People tell me you never kind of say your name, and I don't think about doing that. I figure, you know, we've got the announcer that does it at the beginning of the show, but I am Dr. Andrea Dennis. I am from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital, and you know, you can actually, if you can't get in or you're not comfortable calling, you can actually just reach us through our website, which is Bloomfield Animal Hospital. CT for Connecticut.com. That's Bloomfield Animal Hospital, CT.com. And you can just press the button that says contact us. And, you know, Mondays tend to be really busy. Well, every day is busy, but Mondays especially. So if you don't hear right back from us, but I have an incredible staff that's excellent about letting me know when somebody has sent an email to us and we have a conversation about whatever you need to do. But I will get back to you, I promise. So also, I wanted to, because I always feel like I'm rushing at the end of the show, and I want to just thank Kevin, who is my producer, who does a fabulous job here every Saturday for me. Sometimes, you know, we have little hiccups that happen during the studio. I try to be good on this. You should see this huge board in front of me, and sometimes I hit the wrong button. So thank you, Kevin, for everything that you do. So shout out to Kevin. And Ray, thank you for your patience.
Oh, yeah.
How
absolutely.
Are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. So you had a woman call in earlier about her dog with the natural stuff for her dog for like flea and tick and,
yes.
and everything. There's a great product out there. They're actually Connecticut based. I believe they start with the Wilderness Program. But it's called Naugatuck Spider.
Okay.
They have not only just stuff for animals, but they also have stuff for people.
Uh-huh.
And it's all naturally based stuff.
Okay.
Do your research
yeah.
to make sure that it's not harmful for the animals. Like even the flea and tick stuff they have when you take your dog out hiking, it's you know, not there's no citronella in it or anything like that. They even have, because even the products they have that have citronella, they say do not spray on your animals.
Uh-huh.
So it's a really good product
okay.
to look into if someone's interested in doing more of a natural thing
yeah,
along with that.
Yeah.
So
that's really good. I mean, have you used it on your pets?
Oh yeah, yep.
Yeah.
I've used it on our dog now, our dog that we had in the past, who mm-hmm. unfortunately she is no longer with us.
Okay.
But we've used it on our cat and stuff, and we've had no problems with anything at all.
Okay.
With any adverse reactions or anything like that, because it is all natural product.
Right.
With anything, you want to be sure.
Right. You got to do your own research. And so I do appreciate you. This is your suggestion, and we'll let folks do their research, I think.
But
my point was to be very careful with this, Ray, is that something like there's all natural products, but a certain amount, if you're ingesting something that's all natural and you're ingesting it at higher levels and is safe, that's where my concern is.
Yeah, well, they say the same thing with DE, right?
Yeah.
So you can use that to do that, but if your animal inhales it,
mm-hmm.
it could be detrimental to the lungs. You'd be very careful with that.
Right.
With anything, so I would say like if you're going to use a natural product or anything that has especially essential oils on it,
yes.
To take a little bit of it, spray it on your hand, rub it on, like if you have an open skin, you know, where not a lot of fur is on your pet, rub it on that. See if they have a reaction to it. And if they have a reaction to it, they absolutely do not use it.
Right. Well, and I agree with that, but I would
go
one step. I would have them talk to the veterinarian. Don't do anything without checking. And I think the call this has been great to open up that dialogue. The other thing is that now I'm not a believer that these all natural products are as effective as repelling or killing fleas. We know that once you have fleas, it's impossible. And I don't want someone to
feel... It's a ridiculous amount to get rid of them.
It is. I mean, we have been so fortunate. And again, I was, as I mentioned, I'm a seasoned veterinarian. So I was around before those once a month topicals that these really excellent flea killers. And I remember, I would see kittens that would die from anemia because of fleas. I think pet owners that are recent pet owners don't realize how bad fleas used to be.
They get into all your furniture and everything, underneath your couches and inside, like underneath the mattresses. And like, so you have to, if you're not
Right.
Ripping apart your furniture and get rid of them, you're never going to get rid of them.
Right, and I've seen several puppies and kittens coming in with tapeworms, and they're getting flea tapeworms. So when they're ingesting the fleas, they're getting tapeworms too. So we just go, and then where we live here in Connecticut or the Northeast, I know we have listeners all over the Eastern coast, the tick-borne diseases, I mean, they're not fleas. They're not big fleas. They are their own special species. And the diseases they transmit, I have a dog right now that I'm treating that is just down and out. And it's from anaplasma. It's not just from Lyme. So the other thing, too, is if you're going to use these products, have that conversation with your veterinarian. You don't want to get into a false sense that they are going to really at what percentage are they really going to do their job, right?
Well, truth. And with anything, too, like even if you're using the natural or medical product, you want to make sure you're doing your due diligence, like when you're going hikes and stuff, to go through your pet's fur, to clean them out, to make sure that you don't have any kind of, tick or anything in there.
Right.
So it is taken as that due, like you would take with your kids, because we go on hikes and like I'm checking my kids' hair.
Right.
When we come home from them, to make sure they don't have ticks or anything in them.
Right.
So it is taking that other step to do your due diligence, whether using whatever kind of product you're going to use. You have to be proactive in your pet's health.
Exactly.
And you really do.
Well said, Ray. I mean, I think we're on the same page. I think maybe I guess I'm bringing across my cautiousness of where we live. Have that conversation with your veterinarian about their pets. I think that's good. But this has been a very intelligent conversation, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you as well.
Thank you.
I really enjoy listening to your show every week. I really do.
Okay. Thank you. Good luck, Ray, with everything. Right. Bye-bye.
You too as well. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I really do appreciate the conversations because this is the way I learn and kind of learn what's out there. But again, anything you need to call on during the week, we can do that. Lori Fast, the trainer, will be on next week. I have to go out of town next weekend, so I will not be here. But I look forward to this, and this has been an excellent show. One of the things that I didn't know anything about, and I would love to hear about it if anyone has been there, has anyone heard about that dog mountain in Vermont? It's like a sanctuary where you can go with your dogs. I assume you can bring cats too, but it's mainly for dogs. I actually saw it on 60 Minutes, and then all my friends sent me a link to the 60 Minutes segment. And, so I've been doing a little bit more research, and when the weather gets warmer, it has a dog chapel on there for people that are spiritual, and people can bring their pets that have passed away. They bring their pictures. It just seems to be a community, and it's there's the Stephen Hunick gallery is there. It's quite the story. So I would, if someone's gonna think about taking a trip, or someone that just says, hey, I've been going through a lot of just a lot of mourning for the loss of my pet. So this might be a trip that might be helpful. So, not trying to leave you on a down note, but I thought this looked fascinating, and I may try to take the trip myself. They even have trails for you, all sorts of trails you can go on too and walk with your pets that are healthy to do that. So I'm going to say goodbye, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much for watching. Okay. Bye-bye now.